Welcome to Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. I'm Greg.
And I'm Erin. We've been married for 31 years, almost 32. We're marriage counselors and we lead the marriage team here at Focus on the Family. Today, Greg, we're continuing the conversation around in-law relationships. Not that we have ever struggled with this, but I know most couples at some point struggle with this. And this can sometimes cause conflict in your own marriage.
Yeah, like it did for ours right when we got married. So this was the summer that we got married. So we just had come back from our honeymoon and we had an opportunity to go with my family to England. My dad was doing some marriage teaching and training and all that. And so it was going to be a free trip. Mm-hmm. And so I remember you and I kind of talking about it going, well, should we do that? Should we be around your, you know, my family now that we've just gotten married? And we're like, but it's England and chance of a lifetime.
And that was the last time we went there.
Yeah.
That's telltale.
We need to go back and redeem it.
We do.
Because
it didn't go so well. We thought it was a great idea. We were traveling around England and Scotland in a, was it a 15-passenger van?
Yeah.
And so here we were, and your younger brother and your sister and her new husband.
Yeah.
We got married within 2 months of them getting married. And the family dynamic was not super great for a newlywed couple.
Yeah.
And we will often use this as an example of what not to do right after you get married. I think getting into a 15-passenger van for days on end created challenges, we'll say, around, in some ways, jockeying for position within the family system. Yeah. And it was interesting and painful. And all I know is mid-trip, I was weeping and begging to go home to my mommy.
Yeah, I don't even know how to respond to that.
Yeah, because there were cruel things said.
It was tough. And it's one of those things, often when we interview someone, a guest on our podcast here, remember, we'll say, hey, if you could go back to that younger you standing at the altar, this would be one of those things that I wish I could go back and tell, you know, me standing at the altar, hey, in just about a month, you're going to have this really cool opportunity. Do not, under any circumstances, go.
Yes.
Like I maybe even would have, you know, broken my leg or something, the younger leg to keep me from being able to go anything. Because we weren't strong enough as a couple. We didn't have our own identity. You know, I instantly fell back into old family roles and, you know, roles that I played within my family of origin. There was all that going on. It was a complete recipe for us for failure. So, you know, we always encourage couples, man, really think this through.
Yes. And leave and cleave. And cleaving takes time. And so that definitely did not set up a healthy dynamic. And it actually launched into some challenges over the years around in-law relationships.
Yeah. 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 I mean, the reality is for us, it's now part of our love story. And hopefully, maybe I should have asked you before I'm about to say, I feel like we've repaired that, you and I. And we certainly understand
what have done it. It's a continued part of our love story.
Yeah, that is true, which is really why we want to do this episode. We want to continue that conversation around in-laws. And we've got some great segments coming up that are going to do just that later on. We're going to talk to a counselor, a good friend of ours, Joni DeBrito, about really how you can talk through in-law issues with your spouse. We're also going to hear a question from one of our listeners who wants to know, what can he do when his spouse is not responding to his love?
But first, we're continuing the conversation we had with Dave and Ashley Willis about in-law relationships. They're authors and podcasters with some great insights. So let's listen to the conversation we had with Dave and Ashley.
What are some of the things as you look back with that hindsight going where things are now compared to the horrible place it sounded like it was at? What seems to have been some of those things that you would encourage others to do who are struggling with their in-laws as well?
Yeah,
that's that question is why we wrote the book, the Married into the Family book, is we wanted to take everything that we had learned through several decades of walking through this and seeing God do do a miracle. I mean, it's like the most dramatic before and after mm-hmm. of any aspect of our lives. And we get written every day, as I'm sure you guys do at Focus on the Family as well, from folks who are hurting in this area. Mm-hmm. They're trying mm-hmm. to navigate it. And it's not always with the generation ahead of you. Sometimes it's with the generation coming up behind you. You know, you have kids getting married, and then mm-hmm. sometimes there's unhealthy things you're seeing in those marriages or unhealthy behaviors you're seeing with the people that your children are marrying.
Yeah.
And trying to navigate all that and love and support as best you can when you're seeing something that's so unhealthy. And it can be so complicated. Like, yeah. Lord, how do we do this? And so we opened up the Bible, which is always where we should go for answers, and started looking specifically at scripture for examples of healthy in-law relationships. Mm. And at first I thought, well, we're not going to find that many. I can't think of a lot. But when you start looking at stories in the Bible specifically through that lens, we started seeing so many examples. We saw, you know, Moses and his father-in-law Jethro, and a really healthy example of two men from two different cultures, two different ethnicities, two different worlds, building such a mutual respect for one another that Jethro became a trusted friend and mentor. Mm. But we also see in Moses' family, his mm-hmm. brother and sister, Miriam and Aaron, rejecting Moses' wife, yeah. you know, and God dealing with them because of that. And you see positive and negative examples in the same family of how we're meant to embrace and love people well when they enter our families. You see Ruth and Naomi and Ruth's commitment to Naomi mm-hmm. and how God blessed that because of Ruth's commitment to her mother-in-law, God really opened yeah. up blessings for her. And really, all the way through scripture, you see positive and negative. And so we camped out on that and kind of just tried to do a biblical case study of what are the principles we can draw from this. And and in a nutshell, it's do your best to honor, like the Bible says, honor your father and mother, which includes your in-laws. And what does honor look like in different seasons? And what does love look like in those relationships? What do boundaries look like?
So when in-laws are hurting you, like what was going mm-hmm. on, what's yeah. happened to so many of us, what does honor then look like?
Well, I think sometimes the most loving and honorable thing you can do for them is to establish a boundary okay. because mm-hmm. I think so many times, and this was, Dave and I both are pleasers by nature. Like mm-hmm. we really want you to like us. Like we don't want to rock the boat. We want everybody
like
to just
so
both. So.
Thank you. I've been waiting for you to say that this whole episode.
Yeah. Aaron's on the fence, but I like you.
Well, Aaron, we're going to convince
Aaron, what do
you
I need
yes.
to do?
Yes. Yes. You got me. I'm right there with
oh,
you.
That's a relief.
You had me at hello.
Yeah.
Oh, I
just so appreciate you guys sharing your story, and you're sharing it in a way that is honoring to your families. And by changing names, by not naming names, but you're still honoring. And you guys, to me, it sounds like you said you moved through this hard, hard season and you got to see God's miracle. And that's yeah. awesome. And you've chosen love. I think it's just yes. phenomenal.
Well, and I love, you know, it talks about love covering over a multitude of sin. And we have seen that. Like, I mean, it's just amazing how when you allow God's love to lead you to set those boundaries again, because if you're a pleaser, it feels like a punch in the gut to have to mm-hmm. set a boundary, because we right. falsely believe that setting a boundary is pushing someone away, but it's mm-hmm. not. God is a God of order. God established boundaries all around the mm-hmm. world, and there's boundaries that we need in relationships too. And so I think I had to flip my thinking to know that setting a boundary is the most loving thing I can do, because this boundary is not only protecting Dave and I, but it's also helping, you know, us and that family member to have a healthy relationship as well, because it's saying, no, name calling is out of bounds. Cussing at each other is out of bounds. Like, you know, we're not going to allow that kind of behavior in this family, because that's not protecting any, you know, the family members involved. And what we found is when you stick to that in a loving way, where you're not, you know, you're demonstrating that love and how you treat them and establishing the boundary, they eventually do come around to respect the boundary, because they see the fruit of that boundary. Mm-hmm. And that's what we experienced. Yeah. And it didn't happen overnight. I mean, it mm-hmm. took time. But I will tell you, all these years later, in writing this book, you know, over the past, I guess, couple years, you know, it usually takes a couple years from a book, you know, from being written to coming out. And we had talked with the family member about this book. We were like, we have to let them know that this is coming out, and all of our family members, we were like, this book's coming out. We're not using anybody's name. We're going to respect all parties involved.
Or just would have given you a sequel.
Oh, so
you
exactly. You more information. No, it would have been.
You gave them the book for Christmas.
That's right.
Wow. They were thrilled.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Thank you for inspiring this. And
they would have been like, what is going on? Yeah. No, but we did. We talked. And what's so interesting is, in being honest about this book and coming at it from like, this is positive. This is how far God's taken us. This is to help other people so they don't have to kind of step on the landmines we did, you know?
Yeah.
And it's been really interesting because that family member, it actually unexpectedly kind of led to even more understanding and more conversations and even more, like we had forgiven this family member a long time ago, even without an apology, because I think that sometimes you just have to do that or you're going to, you know, that unforgiveness eats away at you, you know, but surprisingly we received apologies and that was something that I could have gone my whole life without, but it was very much like the icing on the cake. And I think it was healing for that family member to come to terms with that. And so it's just been beautiful and very messy, but beautiful nonetheless.
And one thing I'll add about honoring that helped us, I think the way God wired us up, when you pray for someone, it keeps your heart tender towards them. And I think through all of this, we weren't just praying for answers. We weren't just praying for ourselves, even though we were praying for ourselves a lot. Mm-hmm. But we were praying specifically for this person. God, bring healing. Bring, you know, I mean, there's clearly healing that needs to happen there. And bring healing. And bring healing not only to our relationship, but to their mind. And as we prayed, I think it's something God used to kind of work through those prayers to bring healing, but also it kept our own hearts tender and our own hearts from growing
and really kept them open. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And that's probably as we've navigated relationships with our in-laws and had to learn boundaries. I think that's one of the things that stood out to me most, because as a pleaser, like you guys, it was so hard for me to set boundaries and it felt wrong, but yet that's really a good, a Christ-like boundary is put in place to keep your heart open.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
you're right. It's not putting the walls up and it's not unhealthy. It's actually what we had to learn to do to keep our hearts open, which then gives room for God to keep working and loving them through you and speaking through, like all that stuff then is possible.
Mm-hmm. And I continuously would say to my teenage girls, they're now adult daughters, married, I would say sometimes, awesome. You know, we're called to love, but sometimes the best way to love someone is from a distance. Because with that space, you get a different perspective and a different lens to see the situation through, as well as then able to set the boundaries that need to be put in place, as well as the level of intimacy of their relationship. So, so important. So, so important. Mm-hmm. You guys talk about 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. How does that apply to dealing with in-laws?
Well, I think that it's just a simple roadmap for what love really looks like. I mean, that passage starts out, love is patient, love is kind. I mean, just starting right there, like, okay, if that's what love looks like and I'm called to love them, then what does it look like to be patient and kind to this person? You know, a few verses down, it says love keeps no record of wrongs. That's the hardest one on the list, I think.
Totally.
Because we love to just keep ammunition of like, oh man, I'm going to use that one of these days.
And yeah, I love
God
the words.
Says, no, my pound of flesh.
I love the words to perseverate on something or ruminate on it. Just good words.
Yes.
It just feels good sometimes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Do the instant replay over and over. Like, oh yeah, one day I'm going to get revenge. But you know, Jesus, like, I already forgave you more than you'll ever have to forgive anybody. Right. Exactly. And I don't keep track of your stuff. So you got to let it go too. And that's for our own good.
Well, Aaron, Dave made such a great statement when he said a big part of honoring your in-laws can be setting a boundary. Mm-hmm. And again, sometimes that doesn't seem to even fit. Like, oh, if I really love you and want to have a good relationship, I don't need boundaries and I just need to be open. But honestly, right, a boundary is a great act of love within a relationship.
Absolutely. And I'm smiling because we just walked through this with a family member as far as a boundary and how helpful a boundary can be, because it allows you to keep your heart open to that person And, you know, oftentimes within in-law relationships or family relationships, sometimes there's beliefs of like, oh no, there's no rules, there's no expectations, there's no have-tos, there's no boundaries.
Yeah. So let's get into that. So maybe let's give some context. What are some of those common issues or arguments or problems that can happen within our in-law relationships?
Yeah. I mean, there's a vast array of issues that can come up, but very simplistically, you know, visits and time together. How often are we seeing our parents? Are they staying with us? Are they traveling with us? You know, what does that look like?
Yeah, personal space and privacy. I know that we used to have that as an ongoing conversation with my father, who loved just to pop over and just felt, hey, if I can just come right through the garage anytime I want. And,
yeah.
Because I love you guys and want to see you. And,
not even through the garage. He'd walk through the front door at any
Why
point.
Why wasn't it locked then?
Yes,
maybe that's
I know.
On
I
us.
Don't, I should have changed the garage code. maybe parenting and discipline as far as kids, not parenting and disciplining in-laws. But,
Although
you
tempting.
Know, it's how do grandparents interact with and discipline your children?
Yeah.
You know, are they offering unsolicited advice?
Yeah. Yeah. It might be financial issues. How do we divide up holidays, or even respecting individual choices and beliefs? So there's a lot that can go on.
Which includes who you chose to marry.
Yeah.
And I will often say if your child is marrying someone that you don't necessarily love, you bring that up, you let your child know, and then they choose. And once they choose, your job is to support the marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have just heard story after story within my counseling practice of in-laws that continue to carry kind of a grudge against the person that their child chose to marry.
Yeah.
And that's just not going to go well.
It just, it really doesn't. And that's such a painful place that often thus would require a boundary. So as you're working with couples within your private practice, kind of walk us through how to set a boundary with our in-laws.
I would say often we don't know we need a boundary until something happens. So it's important to be intentional about where those boundaries, you know, what topics we might need to set boundaries in, what areas of our life, just to be intentional, even in premarital counseling as we're entering into marriage. So it's identifying your boundaries, what are they? And it's important that we then get very clear on what they are and then we communicate them.
Yeah, because you and I mean, recently we had a conversation kind of about what does a boundary look like with one of our relatives. Mm-hmm. And it was, what I liked about it is, well, let me say this differently. When we first tried to have that conversation, it just didn't go well. It didn't erupt like into a major argument or anything, but it just didn't land.
There was some defensiveness.
Yeah. On your part, I know. I don't know why you were being so defensive. But what was good is that later on that night, you said, hey, I need a repair. Mm-hmm. And I like it when you say that because then I know exactly what needs to happen.
Yes.
And it was really good because we were both able to sit down and just talk about, okay, here's what was going on for me. You know, you shared, hey, this happened and this is how I felt. And just for me to be able to validate that and that makes sense. And man, I care about that you felt X, Y, and Z, whatever.
Well, it's important as a couple to agree upon the boundary because it might be my boundary, but you're involved too.
Yeah.
So it's important that we communicate about that and land at like what is a boundary that works for both of us.
Yeah. And that's what I liked is as we repaired and first leaned into how both of us felt, then we were able to circle back. It was pretty easy to talk about, okay, here's what the boundary needs to look like. And so the all that to say, the step number one in setting the boundaries that the spouses have to agree, have that conversation, work that through in a way to where it's the boundary's a win for both people. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that we were able to do that. It didn't go quite as smooth
yes.
as we would have hoped, but that's life, right? Yes. That stuff
and
happens.
Now you get to communicate the boundary. And so often when
Can
we
I
set,
do that in a text?
No.
Perhaps.
when we set a boundary, often people don't like our boundaries, yeah. especially family. And so it's important to recognize when we set a clear and firm boundary, it's our job then to reinforce the boundary, not to adjust it based on what the other person wants or doesn't want. It's our boundary. And our boundary is there for a reason, yeah. and it's there to keep our heart open
yeah.
so we can stay engaged in the relationship.
And one of the things we've talked about before is that we're always training people how to treat us. And so therefore, if we set a boundary, we've got to enforce that. We've got to be consistent. So you and I talked about what that would look like. And sorry, we're being a little bit vague just to protect some
the
loved
innocence.
Ones, yeah, in our family. I think at the end of the day, you know, once we've talked the boundary through, mm-hmm. we've agreed on what that'll look like, we've communicated that, we're enforcing that. I think it's important then that we're always trying to, with that individual, just continue to build a positive relationship. And so I think a boundary is great as we also look for ways to connect and have positive experiences with that person so mm-hmm. that there's balance there.
Yes.
Well, if you want to work on your relationship with your in-laws, you know, check out Dave and Ashley's book. It's called Married into the Family, The Not-So-Secret Guide to In-Law Relationships. And we have that here at Focus on the Family for a gift of any amount. When you get the book, you're supporting our show, so we want to say thank you for your generosity.
Yes, and all the details will be in the show notes. We are here today with our dear friend, Joni DeBrito. So excited. She is a counselor here at Focus on the Family. She has her doctorate, and she has all kinds of accolades to go with her great knowledge and wisdom. And so we're so excited to have you here with us, sweet Joni.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here with you today.
So, Joni, we're going to talk about in-law relationships,
oh,
which, you know, never cause challenges at all. So we're just probably going to make some of this up. But
yeah.
maybe let's start and give some context. What are some of the common in-law problems that married couples fight over?
Well, often they will have opinions and then they will share them with in-laws. And in-laws very often will side with the son or the daughter who's sharing the information. Obviously, that's a problem because they're only getting one side of the story. And so that can start the ball rolling. And then there are other times when people just have differences of opinion. And because maybe, especially early in the marriage, they're more familiar with their parents than they are with their spouse, they may decide to jump on the bandwagon with
yeah.
that opinion. And that
kind
can
of
cause
loyalty,
a lot of
conflicts.
Uh-huh.
And I know uh-huh. that parenting differences between, you know, grandparents and
right.
their kids or in-laws can create some
right.
some challenges.
Mm-hmm. So how would you suggest someone approaching their spouse about a problem concerning their parents, so the spouse's parents?
Is so if there, I had a problem with your parents
yes,
or parents,
yes.
How would I do that?
How would you best bring that up? And is there language that should be used or could be avoided that would maybe help it go better?
Yes, I'm going to answer that question, and then I think it'd be also helpful to talk about how to prevent in-law problems, because there are some tricks
nice.
To that as well.
Good, good.
But I do think that if you have a concern, you should take it first to your spouse, not to the in-laws, but to the spouse and say, this is what happened, this is how it affected me, maybe I was hurt or I felt confused or what have you, what can we do? And then that should be a discussion that the couple has together mm-hmm. and to figure out how to approach in-laws about that issue. And it's best if they can approach together so they're a united front. But sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes there's a recognition that maybe it would be better for the child to approach his mom or dad or then to just to say, you know, let's talk about how we can either agree to disagree mm-hmm. because reasonable people can disagree. And if not, if there are some things that need to be decided to really come together and figure out, you know, what's more important, the strength of the relationship or a certain issue? And usually the answer is that the relationship is more important than a certain issue that people may disagree about.
How do you do it when over time we've given similar advice of, you know, if it's your parent, then you be the one to go and talk to them. So what about in a situation to where let's say that Erin has, you know, something she's frustrated with or heard about, something that she really wants me to go to one of my parents and talk about. But let's say that I don't agree with that or, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, I don't want to bring that up. How does that couple really work through that?
Well, I think the first thing is to have one of those discussions where Erin's able to tell you how something has really affected her so that you can begin to really hear her and empathize with how she's feeling. And maybe that's more why you're going to a parent, because you realize your wife has been hurt or she's confused or what have you. So having that empathy and compassion can drive you to have that discussion. Even if you don't think the issue is an issue, again, you're thinking about, for the long-term relationship, what is more important, that my parents show respect for my wife or my wife shows respect for my parents, or again, that topic that probably is something that is going to be very temporary and not long-term as a relationship is.
And you said you had some tips for us as far as
how to prevent.
Yes, prevent, yeah. Or keeping those in-law issues out of the marriage.
I do. And I actually think it starts with people being adults, especially starting with in-laws. I think that in-laws need to recognize in the Bible, it talks about a man leaving his wife and clinging to, leaving his family and clinging to his wife. Don't leave your wife.
Doesn't say it quite that way.
Don't leave your wife. Leaving his family and clinging to his wife, they are the primary relationship, and their parents are still very important in their lives, but they kind of take a second seat. And I think in-laws can go a long way by stating that and saying, we want to support your marriage. Yeah. We want to support you in your marriage. We don't want to create problems within the marriage. So if there's ever anything that we do that is hurtful, it's not going to be intentional, but we all end up hurting people unintentionally from time to time. Please come and talk to us. And also, if it's a couple that either already maybe has children, maybe it's a second marriage, or they're planning on having children, to say, and we want you to know that when you have children, we will support you in your parenting. This is the way I put it to my daughter and son-in-law have kids. As long as you don't, you're going to laugh when you hear this. As long as you don't ask me to do something that I would have to report to social services, I will support you. And we have followed through on that. So there have been times when I've disagreed a little bit. It's never been a major disagreement about something they've asked me to do, but it was never out of line for me or my husband. And when my grandkids maybe push back a little bit, I reinforce that and I say to them, your mom and dad have asked me to do this and I respect them, so I am going to follow through with what they do.
Wow.
And so that has really helped. And I try to reinforce that also when I'm talking to my daughter and son-in-law. Maybe there has been a little scuffle, you know, because kids, they try to say, oh, no, Nana, you can do that. Mom and Dad don't let us, but you're a Nana. You can do that.
Never do that.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're great kids, but they are kids, right? And so from time to time, I will say to my daughter and son-in-law, so your kids wanted me to let them do that, but I reminded them, and I'll usually say it in front of them, that you asked us not to do that, and so we respect you. And I keep trying to put across that point of being respectful.
Yeah, that's really good. Mm-hmm. What else have you found really can make that big difference? Because I like what you're saying, that really, you know, putting those boundaries in place and really respecting kids, I mean, all that's fantastic. Anything else?
I think the biggest thing is that to recognize, as you know, there are two sides to every story, and to be very, very careful not to jump on the bandwagon of your child. It's really easy to do that. You love your child. You see your child that's hurting. But be honest about, husbands and wives all have strengths and weaknesses, and you know, if I see something that my daughter has done that sounds maybe a little harsh toward her husband, I might say something later on, say, you know, it seemed like you responded kind of harshly there. But the big thing is, don't jump on that bandwagon of course, my daughter must be right or my son must be right, because we know that it's really about how they mesh together, that actually both parties can be right about something and still be disagreeing and having arguments, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so we don't want to jump on that bandwagon, because then what we do unintentionally is alienate our sons or daughter-in-laws. I mean, yeah. Why would they want to trust us with anything? It's like, don't talk to her. Yeah. She's going to take her daughter's side all the time.
Right.
So we have to be realistic and honest and recognize that they all have strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah. What would you say about a couple that has had ongoing issues with in-laws? And I hear about this all the time, that lifelong issues with in-laws. Is there hope? And what can they do to protect their relationship and to repair their relationship?
Well, I think that's a boundary issue, Erin. And I think we all know that there are people in this world that are very difficult to get along with and those who are easier to get along with. And the truth is, some of those are in-laws. Mm-hmm. And I will give a very personal example. I'll be very honest. It's something I laugh about now. It was very hard. But I used to hear mother-in-law jokes and so forth and think, that's just awful the way people talk about their mother-in-laws. I'm not going to do that. Well, I ended up with a mother-in-law who really, it's almost accurate to say, despised me and my brother-in-law, who was married to my husband's sister. Mm. But we had been told about her before we got married. She came from a large family, and the whole family was like, she's very difficult to get along with. She's probably going to treat you really horribly, et cetera. Mm. And what it turned out to be is that this was one of those things that was just not changeable. She could never accept me and my brother-in-law because she was Italian and she didn't trust anyone who wasn't Italian. Oh. So when my husband said, why are you so unkind to my wife? This is not okay. She said, oh, I love this about her, this about her, this about her, but she'll never be accepted by me because she's not Italian.
Wow. Oh, wow.
So we had to really create boundaries around that because I couldn't change that. There was nothing that I could change. And I think often when the problems have been going on and on and on, it's more about a personality problem with an in-law maybe, and you have to set those boundaries to figure out how can we be together in a space and be able to get along at least for a period of time for a holiday dinner or something like that, but also protect ourselves from being hurt.
And I think it's helpful too to recognize that the issue may not be about you.
Yes,
it may be about them.
Right.
And how freeing that is to be able to realize that, you know, I can't control what they do or don't do, but I certainly can control this situation I put myself in or how I'm willing to interact and engage.
And you can also be kind and loving and empathic and show the love of Christ to them, and you have no control over how they respond.
Right.
So my mother-in-law never responded to that with kindness. She just continued to be angry and bitter. But I am the one who has to answer to the Lord in terms of the way I behave and the way I respond to people. And again, I can't control how they respond to me. So I think you can sometimes in your heart forgive that person and you can show kindness to them even though you know you're not going to get it back.
Right.
What would you say to that person who's listening? Maybe they're the parent, maybe they're the spouse. Like, what's one thing that they could do, maybe some positive step towards repairing a fractured in-law relationship?
Well, I think it first starts with ourselves being humbled and kind of thinking about, are there ways that I might have contributed to this? And if so, how could I repair that? It might be by saying, I'm sorry. I really want to apologize to you, and I hope that you will forgive me, and I'm going to try to do better. How can I do better? And so forth. So I think that is really, that is the first start. And then I think we have to remember that, you know, God asks us to be forgiving because he has forgiven us. So that process of forgiveness, it is a process, and it can take, 15 minutes or a day or 10 years, depending on what has happened. And so I think those are the two pieces, that personal humility and also being willing to forgive, again, recognizing that that may not be reciprocated, but it might. Mm-hmm. It might.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, Joni, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We love
yes,
your wisdom.
Thanks for being with us.
And just being honest about even what's gone on within mm-hmm. your own family and how you manage that. Just so grateful for yeah. your willingness to share and to help our listeners.
Yeah, next time we're going to bring coffee and just sit here and have a coffee table conversation.
Oh, that'd be fun. What could we talk about? What?
There's all kinds of things we could talk about.
Husbands.
Yes. Marriage.
Well, here's the deal with husbands. They're just always wrong, right? Wives are right. Husbands are wrong. That is not true.
Yes.
For anybody listening,
I can tell you for a fact that I was right the other day. It's like the first time, but I was right one time. Well, now we're going to move on to our weekly Q&A, and this is the part of the show where we get to answer your questions about marriage.
Please send us your questions. You can click the link in the show notes or go to crazylittlethingcalledmarriage.com and click the button on the side of our show page to leave us a voicemail. And if we answer your question on the show, we're going to send you a copy of our book, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, 12 Secrets for a Lifelong Romance, for free, as our way of saying thank you for listening and reaching out to us.
So Jay, you're about to get your free book. Thank you for the question. So let's listen to the voicemail that Jay sent in.
How does someone love their spouse when their spouse is being unreceptive of their feelings?
Well, Jay, that's a great question. And you're right. I mean, that can be so frustrating when you're trying to love your spouse, not feeling that they're really being receptive to you, to your emotions. And great question. And that's why, you know, Aaron and I, as you've listened before, you always hear us, the first place we go to is really figuring out what can you control, what you need to not try to control that's outside of your control. And so that's really why we would encourage you, first and foremost, just do some self-reflection. Maybe take some time to reflect on kind of your own feelings and what you're needing, and then to really think through why maybe is she being unreceptive.
Yeah, because oftentimes we guess of, you know, why is our spouse doing what they're doing? Why is this not happening? Why is this happening? And the truth is it's really trying to understand what's happening for our spouse. And, you know, really looking at, you know, are we utilizing poor communication skills, or does our spouse have trauma or betrayal or hurt in the relationship? Is there emotional distance or disconnection for a reason? Like, has it not felt safe? Are there stressors that are being expressed in unhealthy ways? You know, maybe there's a lack of empathy or defensive behavior. Maybe our spouse is struggling with a mental health issue like depression or anxiety. We don't know what's happening over there. And so it's important, outside of a time that the issue is happening, to step aside and invite them into a conversation with really presenting with curiosity. You know, I really want to understand what happens when I express love. What is that like for you? Are you noticing that I'm expressing love? Are you struggling somehow in your yard over on the other side? Or am I not communicating in a way that you can receive it?
Yeah, because that's what I appreciate, is it's so easy for us to jump to that conclusion. And
yes,
usually it's more negative. Usually it doesn't turn out to be exactly what we're fearing.
Yes.
And so it's just a great protection. You're really giving your spouse the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
to keep Satan really from jumping in and feeding you lines inside your brain to where, boy, that just begins to spiral out of control in terms of what's really going on. So I appreciate, let's check it out.
Yes.
And invite. And hopefully she'll give some insight, because
mm-hmm.
that's then when you can go, well, you know, what would that look like then for you? Is there a better way that I could express my love that would actually speak love to you? I mean, that's
right.
Why Gary Chapman, was probably the most popular marriage book of all time, Five Love Languages. The whole point is that we all love to be loved, in a very unique and specific way. And so all that just really then sets up an opportunity, as Aaron's talking about, to have that sort of conversation to where you're using the I statements and I feel, you know, you're being curious. I mean, all of that hopefully will give some more insight in terms of what's really going on, or maybe a different way that you could express love. If the goal is so that mm-hmm. she feels love, then to have that conversation is a great opportunity.
Well, Jay, thank you so much for your question. And we sure hope that we were able to help in some fashion. So look out for your copy of Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. And if you're listening today and have any questions for us, please contact us. Click the link in the show notes to leave us a voicemail. Thank you for joining us for Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. Navigating conflict around in-laws can be difficult, but we hope that we gave you some practical tips to help strengthen your relationship with your spouse.
Yeah, be sure to like, listen, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And be sure to share this episode with your friends. You know, we want you to have a seat at the table every week as we help equip you and your spouse to have a lifelong and satisfying marriage. We want to see you growing spiritually as individuals and as a couple so that you can help other couples have a thriving marriage.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again next week about this crazy little thing called marriage.
Is your marriage holding on by a thread? For deep hurt, you need deep healing that only comes from the Lord. And you'll find it at a Focus on the Family Hope Restored Intensive in Michigan. Our licensed Christian counselors will help you and your spouse get to the root of your issues in just 3 to 5 days. And it works. 80% of the couples are still married 2 years after attending. Learn more at HopeRestored.com and talk with a trusted advisor. That's HopeRestored.com.